This episode comes with a trigger warning because it contains discussion on miscarriage and suicide, which some listeners may find distressing. For support after miscarriage, Netmums is a proud champion of Tommies. Visit them at tommies.org. And for support with suicidal thoughts, we recommend calling the Samaritans on 116 123. You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Hello, lovely listeners. I've got the cold. So I'm sorry if my usually beautiful voice is affected by that. Bear with and please be kind. Wendy, what's going on in your world?
Well, it's a bit of a shit show, really, if I'm honest.
Please, will you share with our listeners what happened to you at trampolining this week? Because it might be the best thing I've ever heard.
So my kids go trampolining at a kind of like, it's like a Christian centre in the middle of a town near us. And a man came up to me and he was a lovely man. He was a little old man and he handed me a leaflet and he said, "I've never seen anyone look more in need of finding God than you." And I was like, "Oh, right. Thanks, mate."
Why do you think you looked so in need of God?
Well, I'd been watching trampolining for an hour. Anyone would look in need of God after that, to be honest. But
it's the absolute best thing anyone's ever said to anyone. What did you say in response?
I didn't blaspheme, but it was tricky. And then I just said, "Sorry, mate, I've got three kids to sort out." And I ran out the door.
Excellent.
But speaking of kids, my children, darlings, are home because there's a beepity beep in inset day.
Oh,
who has an inset day mid-November, for Christ's sake?
That's absolutely ridiculous. What have you done with them? Tied them up with a skipping rope?
Basically, yeah. It's a bit like our guest has just told us what she's done to keep her dogs quiet while we're recording this. I've done something similar, but it's not pig's ears, it's chocolate, basically.
Nice. It's the only way to go.
But speaking of our guest, I'm really excited.
I know. Shall we introduce her? Because she's a bit too exciting to keep quiet about. So today we have got, are you ready? Drum roll. Katie Bloody Price. Hello, wait. Katie. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. As you can see, it's chaotic in my house, and literally, I've only been awake half an hour with the dogs barking, me making my crumpets and tea, makeup people and TV people arriving, and I've got the fire on. So it's hectic, and I haven't even started, and if you just bear with me 2 minutes, I'm putting the dog out the front door because he's a protection dog, and everyone's scared of him in here.
It's all right. Off she goes to put the dog out.
You know what? If it's not the kids I'm moaning at, it's the bloody dogs.
I know. They are like, my mum always says it's like having children who don't grow up.
No, that's husbands.
Hello. Hello, everyone listening.
Good morning. Now, Katie, morning. The first question that we always ask, and it sounds like there's been a lot of all three, maybe, but we always ask, has there been any sweat, snot or tears in the Price household this morning?
Do you know what? There's not been sweat, snot and tears because I haven't got the kids here today. But not luckily, I actually hate it. And if there's any mums or dads out there who will appreciate that when you split up and you have to do the 50-50, I hate it.
Aww.
Learn to get used to it because then you think, well, then I get time for myself.
Are you very organised and they go to their dads at the same time? Or do you sort of juggle it so you've always got one of them?
It's 50-50. Obviously, I always had Harvey, but Harvey's now at his college, so I
right
every weekend,
yeah,
and then the others I split 50-50. Yeah.
And is he loving his college? Is he settled in?
Well, yeah, we're doing, I don't know if you saw the BBC documentary I did on him, but everyone loved
it. Yes.
I'm in the middle of filming the other one, actually. I've nearly finished it now.
Nice.
So yeah, all Harvey wants to do is just have kisses and cuddles from me, and I love it because he's 19. And all he wants to do, we stroke his forehead, he says. I say to him, "Do you want me to tickle your head, Harp?" And he goes, "No, just my forehead, Mum, tickle it and kiss it."
Oh, God, he's so gorgeous.
What I love about Harvey is he'll always be a big baby. And you know what it's like when your kids get older, they get to the age sometimes where they're like, "Mum, don't walk next to me because my friends will see and you can't hold that." They're like, walking behind, don't embarrass me, don't do this. So I go for all of that with the other kids, but with Harvey, he always wants to hold my hand, always wants me to kiss him and cuddle him.
Oh, look how many mums can say their 19-year-old wants to hold their hand. It's like, get off, mum, you're embarrassing.
No, I love it. So in a way, I'm lucky because I've got that baby forever. I mean, they're all my babies, but, you know, as they grow up, I mean, I was the same. I think it was the age about 11. And, you know, when you'd go into town with your mum and you know that your other friends are probably in town with their mums, you're like, mum, don't walk near me.
Your poor mum. Your mum is so lovely.
I know, but you know what I mean? And I'm doing that with my kids. I went through a stage with Junior where I just wanted to give him a kiss. He's like, mum, get off. It's that uncomfortable. Get off.
Oh, but he's too cool for school now, isn't he? He's all like,
he's a proper teenager.
Yeah, he's just out and about doing his music. So, yeah, he's non-existent at the minute, out and about, founding a new life. Princess, on the other hand, every day, if it's not a nail picture, because I always get my nails done with Princess as well. Mum, why don't we do this colour? And she tells me about her school. I mean, me and her, our relationship's different because she's definitely a mini me. We love together, hair, makeup. Although her dad doesn't like her wearing makeup and that, I'm the household where she does and she can explore and be like that teenager. But, you know, it's good parent and one easy going. And I'll need.
Yeah, it's a good balance. It's a good balance. So tell us, what would a normal morning be like if they were all there? Would it just be absolute chaos?
You know, it hasn't. I can't remember the last time they were all here, because remember, Harvey's now there. Well, OK, let me think of the time when they were chaos. The morning was chaos because trying to get all their uniforms on to come down for breakfast, you know, because they don't want to get out of bed. And it's like, come on, get out of bed. And I feel like I'm working in the army. I feel like military. Come on, this, that.
Are you good in the morning? Are you good at getting up?
Well, I don't have all nannies and stuff like that. It's just quicker to do it myself. So I just do it myself. So Jet and Bunny, they're pretty good. What I find helps, if you get their uniform out the night before, late.
Yes.
I find it saves time in the morning because there's nothing worse than if they can't find your sock.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
It's hair bubbles in my house. It's always like getting out the door.
Oh, don't, the amount of bubbles in that I buy.
Oh, someone eats them. I swear to God, there's a hair bubble monster that eats the damn things.
Where do they actually go? Because you buy a packet and then they're disappeared.
Yeah, the washing machine eats socks, I swear.
Oh, my dog eats socks. I know where the socks go. They're literally coming out the other end of the dog a lot of the time.
Oh, but yeah, in the morning, yeah, I'm pretty organised like I am in the evening. I've always had this thing. I love night times because I'm not a clean freak as such, but you have to have a bath,
yeah,
clean pajamas, all of that. That's something I've always done. I love, even though they moan about it, oh, I don't want to get the bath, this, that, I make them do it. And then afterwards I'm like, how do you feel? Do you feel nice, cozy and clean? They're like, yes. And I'm like, see, all that moaning for nothing.
Oh, but that's what I love about babies. That's one of my favourite bits when they're really little. It's when you get them out of the bath and they're all fluffy. That's why I want another baby. But no, not allowed.
Join the club. I'm 43.
Snap!
And this is the thing, right? So I'm 43 and I went... Obviously, I want more kids. But because I...
How many more? How many more are we going to go?
Do you want to know the truth? If I'd had natural births, I would keep going on and on. But I've had four cesareans. I've had one natural birth. And four cesareans, and they weren't by choice. I had to have Junior because it was all short coming out. I don't know. I don't really know the ins and outs. And then they say once you've had a cesarean, you might as well just stick to it. So, because there's always a risk. And now I've had four because the last two were really premature and they didn't make full term. So I had no choice. They had to come out quick.
Yeah.
So cesarean wise, I have seen a doctor and I can have another one.
But just one.
But I'm now 43 and your eggs get lower. And I'm like, oh my God, because I feel young, but your body still ages, whether you like it or not.
Well, you better crack on then, love.
Yeah, come on.
I am crying.
Well, at least that bit's not too bad. You know, there are worse things you could have to do.
Well, if not, I will do a surrogate, if not.
Would you really?
Absolutely. With obviously Cole's bits and mine together. Because... Well, we've discussed with doctors only because I'm weak inside now, because my last two were premature.
Yeah.
They've already said that if I do fall pregnant or if I do it through IVF, which is another option we're looking at, because we have been trying for ages and it's not happened. So we have gone down the IVF route to see. that they said even at 12 weeks, if I get to 12 weeks, they'd have to do the emergency stitch, which I had with Bunny.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's all complicated.
And the best bit is they call you a geriatric mother if you got pregnant now, which I think is the most insulting thing ever.
It is such a rude term.
Age is just a number.
It is. So what is it that you love about having the babies then? Do you love being pregnant? Do you love just the newborns? Do you love the toddlers? Do you love all of it? What is it?
I love the love. You give them, it's unconditional love. And it doesn't matter what day you have or anything. You come home and it's your family and their faces. And I know you. Then when they get to a certain age, they start back chatting and that. But that's part and parcel. They grow out of that. But I just love the fam. I love babies. I just love every bit of it. The pregnancy, not so much, because I get really bad sciatica.
See, like, Annie and I are pukers. We're like,
we're the pukers.
It's awful. Do you know, no one understands it.
No, and if one more person offers you a ginger bloody biscuit, you shove it up their arse.
Oh,
honestly.
Jesus.
And it's like, you could make arrangements to like go to the cinema or go for dinner. But then as soon as you feel sick, you're like, I have to cancel. You just want to lie on bed in the fetus position and just rock yourself to sleep. It's,
yeah.
And the thing is, I'm never actually sick. I reach to be sick, but never sick. It's that I'd rather be sick and then feel fine. But that doesn't happen.
No, because I am sick and you don't feel fine, if I'm honest. I was sick on the tube in my handbag and I was still, you don't feel any better.
Horrible. But anything I say to people who are pregnant, and they're like, oh, I feel sick. I say, well, at least you know the baby's fine. Because when you feel sick, you know it's all still working. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You would panic if it ended overnight, wouldn't you?
Yes.
But you've suffered miscarriages as well, haven't you, Katie?
I do, actually, yeah. Yes. The longest I went, I think it was about 14 weeks. Actually, it's before I did the London Marathon. And I remember when I ran, it had died in me, so they had to take all the bits out. So I remember the day before that happening, and when I ran the London Marathon the first time, I remember running, but you know when it's, I'm not being crude, bits are still coming out, and I still, because I didn't want to let the charity down, because it was for charity, Vision Charity at the time, and I ran the marathon the next day after, and I was really heavy. Does that make sense? Heavy.
Oh, Katie, that's so hard.
I look back, I'm like, all I have memories of that run was I had the baby that gone the day before and I still had to run the London Marathon. It was
that's really tough.
Yeah. But I think that's the worst. And I went when I was in Vegas the other week, I went to this place. What was it called, Carl?
The Body Expo, Real Bodies, isn't it?
Yeah, the Real Body Expo. If anyone goes there, and I was shocked because they had pictures of babies, fetuses, like where they come out of even a 6 weeks old baby, they have it like in a jar and they go up, and I'm so shocked how quickly babies develop. I know you get the book out. I'm quite old-fashioned, I like getting the books out and seeing what stages you're at, but when I actually saw it in the glass, I took pictures of it, actually all of them, because I was gobsmacked how quick babies grow. They might be small, but all their bones and everything are all there.
It's really shocking how quickly they look like little people, isn't it?
That's what I mean. And when you lose babies at 8 weeks and that, and then when I saw the baby, or the fetus they call it, how developed it is at 8 weeks, it was quite upsetting. It quite hit me thinking, Jesus, you know, I've lost babies like that. And they actually are, when you look them close up, babies.
Me or little people.
But it is, but I always say to people, you're never safe until that baby's born. So you've always got to be careful. And I remember the doctor telling me, if you can get a baby to like 28 weeks, because I remember I had this with Bunny, because my waters broke about 22. So I had to do a stitch. I said, as long as you can get to 28 weeks, it should be fine. Because if we don't do this stitch now, and we risk her being born, there'd be a chance there'd be lots of things wrong with her.
So how early was Bunny then in the end? How long did you go?
We reckon she was about 30 weeks or something.
Okay.
Gosh, that's still really early, isn't it?
And Jet, obviously, my waters broke when I was in France with him. I was on holiday. My waters broke, so I was 6 weeks in French hospital.
Flipping heck. And you still want to have more babies, lady?
Yes, because it's not their fault. It's it's, I think I get tested.
Seriously, woman, if you get pregnant again, would you just bloody lie down for this one?
Yeah, in a cushioned room, please.
But then again, look at Harvey. Perfect pregnancy, absolute perfect. He was the best pregnancy I had, Harvey. And I, you know, had all the scans and didn't know anything was wrong with him about his eyes and stuff. And then look, 6 weeks after, and that journey started. So, and I stuck to everything you should do. When it's your first pregnancy, I think a lot of women stick to textbook. Don't eat cheese or fish and this and, you know.
Yeah.
And I did everything. And I still question, what was it? Why? I've asked the doctors. They just said it's just one of them things, you know. But I think nowadays when they can do scans, they can check the eyes to see if there's an optic nerve or something there. I'm not sure.
That's very clever if they can.
But, you know, I wouldn't change Harvey for anything. So it just goes to show, even if you do everything to the textbook, you never know till the baby's born.
Yeah, pregnancy and birth is just the most complicated, unpredictable, isn't it? It's just like a whole other experience. Look, while we're talking about this, it's making me think, the reason I think you're so popular and so kind of beloved by the nation is that you're so open and honest, and you're so willing to talk about all the things that everybody goes through in their life in a way that a lot of people in the public eye aren't willing to talk about.
Right.
Are you as open and honest with your kids as you are with all of us?
Right. Let me just say one thing. You're exactly right. I've been in the industry since I was 17 and I never lie about anything because you always get caught out. I always tell the truth and then I get called, oh, you're a liar, liar. Then the truth comes out and they're like, oh, she was telling the truth. Same with surgery. I could name so many celebrities out there who have had surgery, face surgery, but they're still like, oh, I'm natural, I'm natural.
Oh, go on, name them, name them.
I don't care. Embrace it. If you've had stuff done, say it. And it's like with my children. They know what I'm like. I just say it as it is. I am open. And, you know, it might have got me into trouble sometimes, but I can't help who I am. I'm not one of these people who are managed to be manufactured in a certain way to look perfect to the public. Now, there's a lot of celebrities out there who you see on TV and stuff. And they are not who you think they are, because behind the scenes, they are not what you think, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, we see a lot of that interviewing lots of people on this podcast, don't we,
Wendy?
We
certainly do.
And what I will say about you is, and I interviewed you, I don't know if you probably remember this, but years ago when you were pregnant with Junior, I interviewed you, and you've always been exactly as you are on camera as off, and on the record as off the record. You are just one person, which is amazing.
I know, because people, oh, thank you for that, because people always say, oh, you must switch it on for cameras. That I'm like,
no,
I'm in a, having a shit day. You know I'm having a shit day.
You've talked really openly about your mental health as well, and said like that you're open about needing help. You're open about kind of saying, oh, I needed that today. That's so useful for people out there who follow you, because so many people don't talk about that stuff.
Now, the thing is with me, a lot of people have read my books, they will see from like the age of 7, I was attacked in a park. And so I suppose it's because I've been in the Priory. It's weird because it starts off with your childhood. Now, this is important for anyone who's listening. Anything your kids see at a young age would affect them when they're older. Even if you don't think it, they do. And they take you back to the most memories that you've got. And anyway, mine sort of started around the age of 7. And I've always had problems with guys from the age of 7, you know, either trying to get me in their car or doing stuff to me. So that was that. And then I started the industry. And the media is a different world. They can create you to how they want you to be created or perceived by people. You can't control that. You can have the best PR person in the world. If the media want to write stuff, they will write it. I've come to the conclusion, let me just go back to mental health. So the first time I went into the Priory, it wasn't because I just woke up one day and thought, oh, I'm going crazy. Or it was a build-up of events. Now, the build-up of events, someone could have one event in their life. Someone could, say, perhaps die in their life early, and it will affect them for the rest of their life and for their mental health. You know, there's no comparing. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone's unique, aren't they?
Now, with me, I had a lot to get me to be suicidal. the reason I'm still here today is every time I tried to kill myself before I went in the Priory, it was like I had a flash of the kids' faces going, "Mom, no, Mom." And that stopped me every time. Then I went into the Priory to get help. Now, I went in there the first time. I don't know why everyone always thinks I've gone in there for drink and drugs and rehab. That's not the case at all. But when I do my next book, eventually, I will say it all one day, but I don't think people believe how much I have taken as a human being. You're forgetting my hijack at gunpoint 2 years ago, my free kidnap threats, you know, my rapes, my turbulent relationships, lawyers, men wanting money off me. You know, then I've had to deal with Harvey. Like that, I mean, there's just so much. And then you just break. And, you know, when people ask you, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine." It's one of them. When inside you want to cry and say, "I'm actually not fine, please."
No.
First time in the Priory a couple of years ago. And the recent events, what people might have read about the car crash that I had. Now, it will come out, the events leading up to that. So I think people think I just got in my car drunk and drove it. That is, yeah, I did do that. And but there's my mental health, there's a reason what happened, the build-up of events, which is why I went in the Priory again. So, and it's absolutely shocking what I've just had to go through again. Three incidents have happened to me again the past 4 months, which led to that. And I'm gutted. But I'm dealing with it. So now I went back in the Priory a week before my car crash. I went to the Priory a week before and said, "Look, I need help because of what's happened." And I told him what happened. I got a phone call the day of my car accident. And that was the switch. So anyway, come out the Priory again. So I've made a decision, which is good for me, is every week now I see my therapist and once a month my consultant.
Brilliant.
And I'm starting a course called DBT. It's about distress tolerance, emotions, relationships. When I say relationships, it relationships with your kids, relationships with a workplace, you could be in a shop or your partner, just all different things, how to deal with stress, how to deal with incidents, shock incidents. I mean, I can deal with general stress because I live life in the fast lane, but what triggers me off, their triggers, is when it's about my family, kids,
right,
or me, else, I'm fine with. And unfortunately, the events that have happened to me are to do with them three things. So, yeah, I see a therapist each week. And now I know that I can rant at him and not everyone else close to me. Because you do find that I have found, unfortunately, anyone listening, you'd probably agree with me. When you're stressed or anything, you take it out on the ones near you. They're like your punch bag. They get all your emotions. And it's not fair on them. So that's why now I go to the therapist. And he helps you cope with situations, learns to accept what's happened with things, and then helps you get to plan B.
And do you think you're coping with life better as a result of doing that?
See, it's not, I've been coping with life fine. It's just, this is what I'm trying to say to you, it's the incidents that are the...
Right.
Now, I didn't ask for any of these incidents to happen, but they're quite serious incidents. So I was doing so well since the last Priory visit a couple of years ago. And then... bang, bang, bang. It's like, whoa, whoa, they're all in three. And it's just, it's sad. But now I know by seeing the therapist weekly and stuff, I think anyone would benefit.
It just helps you cope with what life throws at you, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
You can't control those big things that other people do. You can only control how you react, can't you?
But this is another thing, because in the private, they teach, there's a lot of people in there with high profile jobs, like businesses, and they can't, you know, they've got deadlines. And it stresses and it causes a mental health because they're seen as this person, but inside they're crumbling. So you're in there for all different reasons and you get worksheets. And I did some on my friends and my family. I said, look, these are some of the worksheets. I said, so on a couple of people, I did the stress ones. I said, answer these questions about stress. And mine come up moderate. But then some of my friends and the family I did it on, theirs was a lot higher than me. And I said, see, you would benefit coming in the Priory.
Yeah.
It is a mental health hospital, but I think they think it's full of like people who are sectioned, this and that. It's not about that. There's all different sections in the Priory. Like my mum kept saying, you need to go back to rehab. I'm like, Mum, I'm not in rehab. Well, it is. I said, no, Mum.
But it's so misconstrued, isn't it? What people think about having help for your mental health.
But it's funny, like, even the papers now, they're like, oh, she's gone back in rehab. She come back from Baker. She's gone in rehab. I've never been in rehab, not the first time or the second time. I was in there for general.
I've got to ask, I just can't figure out how you do it. How do you cope with all the shit that's written in the papers? Because some of it might be true, some of it's not true. Like you just said, the media can make you out to be whoever they want to make you. Do you read it? Do you not? How do you not go bonkers?
There's a lot of people in this room at the minute. They're all sitting up and they say to me every day, Kate, I feel sorry. I don't know how you do it. They say, I don't know how you do it, because they see me as me. And how they see the papers, they're like, how can they do this to you? It's just not true. How can they literally just write that blatantly isn't true? And I tried to put on my Instagram a story, because I'm commenting on I'm a Celeb every night. How one paper, they've all watched my same clip, but how one paper makes it different to the other, but they've saw the same clip. It's,
yeah.
If you want to know the truth, that's a reason, one of the reasons that I went in the private the first time and the second time, because the media have a lot to answer for.
But then that just makes me think, are you never tempted to just get on your horse and gallop away? Get the kids and scoop them up and hide somewhere.
These are the words from my mouth, okay? I do not care if I'm ever in the tabloids ever again. I do not care. I'm done with it. But they continue to write about me.
Right.
I like to do now my YouTube, my social media stuff, my like questions, my family brand, my baby stuff that I'm doing. I want to do that. I do not ask to be in the papers. I do not care if they ever write about me again. I'm done with them. I'm absolutely done. They've, like, how can I say, people can say, yeah, but you know, they made me and I made them. It's give and take. It's a game. You have to know how to do the game to be in this industry. Now, there was a time when it was good. I would do my press calls, or I'd turn up to Red Carpet and the paps are there, and, you know, you're giving them what they want and vice versa. But then when it comes to your house and them having drones and stuff put over your house, or they're hiding in the bushes at the end of your driveway, yeah. And then they're all following you up the road, you're being watched, you're being stalked. And then when I see pictures in the papers and I'm like, how the hell did they get out? I didn't even see the photographer. It's wrong, because it makes me paranoid. And there should be a law, because the amount of times I've called the police, because there's been a group of guys taking pictures of me and they say they're paps. And then when I phone the police and say, oh, I've got these five people on my case and I'm getting answered, they're taking my pictures and now they're trying to follow me in the car. As soon as I say it's Kate's price, they're like, oh, well, it's not really a lot we could do. It's because your industry. Then if my name was Linda or something, I went, I've got five guys following me, this and that, the police will be on their case. Because they're stalkers. So basically anyone out there can follow me with a camera and say they're a pap. But I've had stalkers in the past where it has gone to court. So for me, it's very, you know, as much as being a mum, and I love being a mum with my kids and I'm at home and I'm trying to work, but I also get anxiety now because I feel I'm being watched, but I know it's not in my head because I know I am, but I can't see where they're taking pictures and that of me. And it does affect you mentally. And then
of course it does.
If someone takes a picture, they put it in the paper and make up a story to go with it. Now my kids are at an age where they read things now.
I was going to say, how do the kids cope with the press stuff?
Well, Bunny at school, she gets comments from other kids. There was a time when I was wearing wigs because I'm trying to let my hair grow, you know, because I was getting bald, I think, from stress and stuff. I remember Bunny saying, Mum, some of the kids at school saying, why does your mum wear wigs? And your mum wears wigs and she's got fake boobs and that. And I mean, she's only like 7.
And quite frankly, what's wrong with wearing wigs and having fake boobs? It's not like it's something, it's so odd.
Like, it's not a normal thing you would say. It's not a normal conversation at school. Because, I mean, it's a unique job I do. So it's not a normal conversation kids would normally have with their friends. And Jet says, Mum, my friends always say, why is your mum famous? What does she do? And they ask me these questions. Whereas Junior and Princess are at the age they know everything because they've lived and breathed it as well. But it is tough on them. Because what do you say? My job isn't like any other parents out there.
Do you think there's any chance they'll go into the industry themselves?
Jet and Bunny won't, but Princess and Junior will. Well, Junior's already just signed his record deal, so he's, I know his album and single are going to be out soon anyway. Princess 1,000,000% will. She loves all her YouTube stuff. And the thing is, that is the way forward. Social is so different from when I started. I mean, I sometimes get pissed off because you see some of these people who say I'm an influencer. It's like, what a load of bollocks. You're just half naked on Instagram, airbrushing your pictures, which are catfish and don't look like you. And then you get paid all this money to do posts. And I bet if we met you in life, you don't look like that. Whereas me, I've been in the industry since I was 17, grafted. There was no social media. I actually made my way up here through hard work, no airbrushing, nothing like that. But now anyone can just be famous and get money just like that. And I wonder if some of these other girls would cope doing what I've done. How many years I've had to put up with this, that, the whole...
Does it make you worry, though, about Princess and Junior going into the industry, it being what it is now?
Do you know, they're so, so switched on. They've seen it all with us. They've seen it. They know half the stuff's rubbish. And they've got us around them who we know it inside out. They're so switched on. I don't worry about them. At all.
One of the questions I was going to ask is, how successfully do you co-parent with the kids' dads? Like, is it hard? Like, let's, you know, you said...
Get it. I'll stop you there. I hate the dads. And I have...
Okay. Five.
That's and easy.
The primary number one and the primary number two, that's all I'm saying as well.
Right.
My relationship with them are non-existent. I'm blocked from one of the parents' dads. And it was always lawyers. And now I refuse to do lawyers, but luckily they're old enough that I can talk to them direct. So one dad, there's just absolute no contact, who tries to control me all the time,
right,
not happening anymore. And the other dad, I can't bear him, but we talk for the kids. So that's...
I was going to say, you must have to for the kids.
And I definitely telling people here, never ever use your kids as a pawn. If you hate your other parent, don't let the kids know and just do what's best for the kids. You know, you want a happy home when they come to you, happy home when they go to them. Don't argue in front of them and, like, just be happy for them. And then what you say behind closed doors when you argue doesn't matter because the kids don't hear it. But with the kids, I never say, oh, you're not seeing the kids because of this and that. I don't think parents... And, like, even when I've split up with the dads of mine, we've always agreed 50-50 because you've got to think of the kids. And I hear these horror stories where some women might hold the kids back and won't let them see the dads just because they've got a problem with the dads. It's not the kids' fault. So always think of them kids. They want their mum and their dad, you know, unless there's circumstances where they can't, or, you know, it goes down into, unless they're abusive, this and that. Obviously, that's different. But I always say to women that what you've got to remember, when your kids get older, you never want them to come to you and say, why didn't you do this or why didn't you let me do that? And that's what you have to remember. You just let your kids see both parents. If it's, you know, some people split for different reasons. But what I'm saying is never use the kids ever just because you hate your other half.
It's a very good lesson. So what's next for Katie? Where do we go from here? What have you got going on?
Well, today... of all days, I'm doing my equestrian range, which is the best thing. Like, mental health, can I just say something? If you're feeling stressed or anything, doing hobbies, going for walks, if you've got dogs, all different things.
Yeah, getting outside.
Since I was seven, I've always been into my horses. And
you've always loved horses.
Yeah, I love a horsey too.
Live and breathe. Have you got a horse, did you say?
No, I'm trying to persuade my husband to get one for me and my daughter at the moment because... I grew up on the back of a horse. I started when I was three, and nothing makes me feel happier or calmer or more chilled out. It's the best thing.
All my kids ride, and I love what me and Princess ride. Bunny started to ride, but all she wants to do is go fast. They go and understand that you'll get hurt. They don't care at that age. She's like, Mum, I want to catch.
You've got no fear when you're a kid. The things I worry about now that I did on the back of a horse when I was little, but it never occurred to me that it was dangerous.
Exactly. So anyway, today I've got my equestrian range coming out. So I'm doing a shoot with my horses in my new range. And then a baby range coming out called Little Pricey.
When's it out and where can we buy it, Katie? So
it'll all be online because, silly, why do I want to pull it out in the shop and then pay distributors and then pay shop?
True. That
anyone who's starting up a business, if there's any mums in it at home, try and do online stuff. It's so much easier because you've got no overheads. It's just easier, quicker, and you see where it's all going. So, yeah, so the equestrian range, the baby range. I've obviously got my makeup and that out. Harvey and me, our book's out at the moment.
Lovely.
I will be doing... I've just finished my Channel 4 show. I've nearly finished the show. Look at me, I'm so busy just reeling it off and trying to think because there's so much.
I know. I actually don't know when you have time to breathe.
I don't. Nighttime, I do like watching my drama series.
What do you watch? I need a new series. Give us a tip.
Angela Black.
Oh,
that is like, it was weird why that was on and I was in the Priory. I'm like, this is a bit like what I'm going through. But Angela Black's good. The Tower, that's a good one.
Okay.
These are like on BBC and ITV Hub. I just love them, like Silent Witness I love.
Have you watched Maid on Netflix?
Oh, no, I've not watched that.
It's so good. About a woman escaping an abusive partner. It's brilliant.
Right, so does it get better? Because I'm up to the bit there where...
Go on.
She's dropped her child off to her nutty mother.
Yes. Oh, the mum. And did you know in real life, that's her mum? It's the actress's mum.
Then I watched The Squid Game, so I'm bored of that.
I don't like Squid Game.
But yeah, I love, and that's a good way to switch off. I look forward to, especially in the winter, when you get all them the winter shows, like Now I'm a Celeb started, and then like Strictly's coming in, you've got Dancing on Ice coming. I get so excited at night coming home knowing there's something on telly.
It's the best feeling, isn't it? Getting all cozy.
Boring. I say to people, all I want to do is go home, sit on the sofa with a cup of tea and watch telly or get a takeaway or I'll cook and have people over. I'm not into going out and all of that. I just love being at home. I'm so boring, yet people don't think I'm like that. I am a homebody. I love it.
Well, that leads us on to a very important question that we ask everyone. Katie Price, what's for tea?
What's for tea? Well, it would probably be a KFC. Because I'm on my way to Cheltenham after here.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it'd be one of them petrol station stoppy jobbies on the way up.
Oh. If the kids were with you, what would it be?
Oh, my God. See, Bunny and Jet love sushi. They absolutely love sushi. But then if I cook, they're upset. They like me cooking carbonara because I do it. I don't use all the bits. I do it from scratch, make all the sauce in it myself. And then they like my roast dinner.
It's all about the roasts. Right, last question of all. I nearly tripped myself up then. Wendy, do you want to ask or shall I?
You can, because you're ill. Okay. The special treat for you, because you're ill.
Katie, this is the best question. We ask it of all of our guests, okay? You've got to imagine that Wendy and I are two of your children and you're tucking us up into bed and we can't sleep. Sing us the lullaby you would sing us.
Oh, I always hold them anyway. So this is good because you can ask any of my kids when I get them out of the bath. I've always done it since they were a kid and I still do it to Harvey. I'll go, rock bye, baby on the treetops. I'll sing that one. When the wind blows, the cradle will. And then they say the last bit.
Well, on that note, Ms. Price, we shall leave you to get on with your busy, 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 busy day. Well, thank you so much. You've been a brilliant guest and as open and honest and real as ever. Thank you so much, Katie Price.
Thank you, Katie. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.